Okay, so we're going to see how we now reach mercy in the Beatitudes. So let's read from Matthew 5 again. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up a mountain and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." 2 weeks ago, we talked about a song, "I Can't Get No Satisfaction" by the Rolling Stones. And we said that true satisfaction came when we pursued righteousness with God, when he was the focus of all our thoughts and our attention, and that ultimately we would be fully satisfied when we become like Jesus, when he returns, that there is ultimate satisfaction. Well, I have another song for you this morning, and it's this one by Duffy. I'm begging you for mercy. Who remembers that? Do you remember that? All the hands are going up. I'm begging you for mercy. And there is really a desperate need, isn't there, for mercy in our world, not least at this time in Ukraine where there's very little evidence of any mercy towards the people there. And of course, so many people came to Jesus, didn't they, begging him for mercy. So I've made that the title this morning, "I'm begging you for mercy." And people fell at Jesus' feet and asked for mercy. That mercy might take all kinds of forms. People asking for forgiveness of sin, or asking for God to be merciful to the Lord, to be merciful, to heal them from blindness, from lameness, from whatever it might be. They were looking for the mercy of the Lord. And if we're to be like the Lord Jesus, then we need to be people who are equally demonstrating mercy to others. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. I couldn't help but think of those mercy ships that go around the world, offering help, support to people who are blind, to people who need physical care, whether that's with their eyesight or their teeth or whatever it might be. We just think of mercy in action. Now, if we consider the Beatitudes so far, these attitudes that we should have, what our attitude should be, the first four that we have looked at have been all about our internal relationship with God. When Jesus was asked what was the greatest commandment, he said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind." And we saw how "blessed are the poor in spirit" meant that we need that self-examination of ourselves to see what we're truly like before a holy and a pure God, to be humbled in our spirit. That's an internal thing, isn't it? And then we saw, "Blessed are those who mourn." And we said that this wasn't so much about the graveside and people mourning at the graveside, but more about us mourning our own sin and the offence that that sin caused to God. And then we saw, "Blessed are the meek." We said that wasn't weakness, but rather it was when our lives come under the control of God. We have that example of the horse controlled by the rider, and in a sense that Christ needs to be the one who is in authority in our lives, and our lives need to be submitted to him. And then we saw that we need to be those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for purity in our lives, to be like Jesus more and more, and that true satisfaction comes through that. So we could almost see those as four steps going up the mountain, if you like, to the top of the mountain. In order to reach God, we have to humble ourselves and accept that our salvation comes from him. Now, if you like, we're coming back down the mountain the other side. And as we come down the mountain, it's about how we actually put that faith into practice with other people. If the first half was love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul and mind, the second half is what Jesus said was the second commandment, love your neighbour as yourself. And so as we come back down, all the things are about how we then put our Christian faith into practice with other people. So it's quite interesting from that point. So blessed be the are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. It's an action, isn't it, towards others, to be merciful to them. Now, I have to say, in the culture in which Jesus was alive, mercy was in short supply. Okay, in Roman culture, mercy was seen as a sign of weakness. In fact, so much so that the Roman philosophers claimed that mercy was a disease of the soul and a sign of weakness if you showed mercy. Just to give you some examples of how merciless that society was. If a child was born disabled, or a father simply didn't like the look of the child that they had been given, they would kill the child. That was the society. Slaves, if a slave upset his master, that slave could be killed without any repercussion. And we can see, can't we, as we come towards this Easter time, just how merciless that society was, as they took an innocent man, a man that Pilate knew to be completely innocent, and they hung him on a cross. That was the kind of ruthless, merciless society that Jesus was speaking into here. And he's saying, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. I want to explore with you that there are in fact three words in the New Testament that are translated for us mercy. So the first of these is oiktermos, and that's to be moved by the misery of others. And we know what that is. We're moved, aren't we, by the misery of people's lives in Ukraine. Our hearts go out to them. It says in Colossians 3:12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. That compassion, that mercy for others. And then there was a second word, spaxnon, but that sounds like a Greek dish or something, I don't know. I don't know what spaxnon, where that comes from. But it spoke of the vital organs. It felt of a deep inner feeling of compassion and love. And in Matthew 9, we have an example of this. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion or mercy, shlachnon, can't say it, on them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without shepherds. So it's a deep, deep feeling, that deep mercy for them. But neither of these words is the word that's used in Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. Instead, it's the word eleo, which is a stronger word, which is not just about how you feel, but is about how you act. Okay, so what it's saying here is, blessed are those who put mercy into action, okay, who actually act in mercy towards others. The kind of sense of feeling of it is this that we have in 1 John 3 17 to 20. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him or no mercy on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let's not just love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence whenever our hearts condemn us. So it's about feeling it so much that you do something about it, that you put that mercy into action. So I'll ask a question. Is it only Christians who put mercy into action? No! Hooray! Because we know that there are masses of charities, aren't there? We could go through a whole list of charities and ways that people raise money to support others in need, who put that feeling of wanting to help into action. And I'm hearing sponsored walks that people are going on, and all kinds of things, because we feel the need to do something to help people. And that's really great, isn't it? So it's not only Christians who show mercy in action. And we find examples of that in the Bible. If we think of the Good Samaritan, the parable of the Good Samaritan, that the priest and the Levite, they might have gone by and said, oh, poor fellow down in the ditch, but they did nothing to help him, did they? Whereas the Samaritan, the one that you would least expect to help, was the one who actually put mercy into action. When Paul was shipwrecked on the island of Malta, it says this: once safely on shore, we found that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and it was cold. You know, that opened the book that the Easter Experience team could have done with some support like that this week. It was bitter and cold and raining and miserable. And to have mercy in action is so good. I don't know if you remember this guy on the news, because we see mercy in action. This guy was on the news some while back. He was a lorry driver, and he saw this little lady who was about to cross the road in front of him, and she looked terribly fragile. So he stopped the lorry, got out of the lorry, and walked her across the road. And somebody else filmed him doing this, and it just kind of made national news, didn't it? And that is because that is mercy in action, isn't it? That's mercy in action. So it's not only Christians who show mercy in action. However, we need to be careful, because there is a danger here. Because we could read this to say, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Oh, if I do a lot of good deeds and I'm a very, very good person, then God will weigh up my good deeds against my bad deeds, and I'll get into heaven because I'm a kind, merciful, generous person. We mustn't make this verse a mandate, a principle for salvation. Because remember the sequence of the Beatitudes, that we have to humble ourselves before God. We have to mourn our sin. We have to throw ourselves on the mercy of God, receive that through the cross of Jesus Christ. And then we start to put the faith into action in the way that we live. And if we have been shown mercy in Jesus, it should be one of the fruits of the Spirit of God working in us, that we then show mercy to others. But we mustn't make this the way of salvation, because the way of salvation is only through the cross of Jesus. We cannot earn our salvation. Okay? I'm not saying that people who don't believe in Jesus don't do merciful acts, they do, but it doesn't earn salvation. It's very important for us when we are people who, as Christians, show mercy to others, that we make sure that the mercy that we offer to others is not an incomplete mercy. Because true mercy is more than just showing an external support and love to someone. True mercy is to point them to the need for their hearts to be changed. It's to point them to God. It's to point them to where eternal life can be found. To show people that what they really need is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we only show practical mercy to people, we're no different from the world. It's good. I'm not decrying it. It's great when people do those things. But if we just like help people practically, but never speak of the Saviour, if we never tell them the way of salvation, then we're offering them an incomplete mercy, aren't we? When we have received the mercy of Jesus for ourselves. And just to show you this, that true mercy involves the whole person, look at the example of Jesus himself, Matthew 4:23. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. You see how he was concerned for their whole being? When that man came and they let him through the roof on a mat, and he came there for healing, and they wanted him to be able to walk, and what did he say? Son, your sins are forgiven. Because what was the worst thing about that man was the sin in his life that needed dealing with. And then to show you that I have the power to forgive sins, pick up your mat and walk. Jesus was concerned with the whole person. And when he sent out his disciples, Luke 9:1-2, when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out demons, to cure diseases, and he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. This is a Celtic symbol for love, peace, joy, and it points to the three areas: spirit, mind, and body. And we are I believe, a psychosomatic unity of spirit, body, and mind in one person. And if we're going to minister to people, we need to minister to all those areas. Yes, practically, to bring physical relief where we can. To help people, we haven't even talked about mental illness and all the struggles that people have in that area, which is such a big issue in these days. We need to be there to support people with their physical and their mental health, but we must minister to the spiritual need that each person has to be in a right relationship with God. Of course, the history of our nation is littered with people who put mercy into action. Many of the reforms that we have in our nation were when people took God seriously and tried to make people's lives better and to show them Jesus Christ. If we think about William Wilberforce and his movement for the abolishment of slavery, it was a recognition that, you know, black African people were of equal value as white people, and that they shouldn't be slaves. So he worked hard for the abolition of slavery. Then you've got Elizabeth Fry, who worked for better prison conditions particularly, but also wanted to point people to the Lord. And you've got George Muller, who worked with children in the orphanages and cared for them, but he wanted to show them Jesus, didn't he? He wanted to share with them the faith of Jesus. John 4:19-20. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. So if we're not showing that practical mercy to others, we haven't surely understood the mercy that has been poured out on us. Where is the evidence in our lives of a changed spirit, of that mercy in action? We have had mercy poured and poured and continues to be poured into our lives by God as Christians. And that mercy should be filling us up so much that it's overflowing from us, that we can't contain it, that it's flooding out from us, if you like, to reach other people. We should be so overflowing with all that God has done to us that it inevitably affects the way that we reach other people. As we demonstrate practical mercy accompanied by telling people about Jesus. That's why I would tend myself to give in giving to charities where I know that people are not only going to receive practical need, but they're going to hear about Jesus. Because otherwise we've left people without the true answer, haven't we? If we only ever minister to people's physical needs, and we don't tell them about Jesus, then we've actually not really solved the greatest issue at all. So I leave that with you this morning. Let us be people who, having received the mercy of God, then demonstrate that mercy in the way that we are with other people.